Hello and welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Shreese Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hi, I am Reverend LaVon Seelhaber. I'm with KnowingSpirit.com. And today I have a special guest, Eunice Rich. And she has some unique gifts, and I just thought it would be nice to have her share some of her experiences. So, Eunice, you live up here in Minnesota like I do, right?
Yes, I do.
But you're from?
California.
Which part of California?
Southern California.
Okay. That's great. Okay, so may you share with us what gift that you have?
Well, I don't consider that I have gifts because I believe that what I do and what I experience, everybody can.
Okay.
So I don't really see it as a gift.
Okay. It's so natural for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think people are just like athletes. Some people are born with more or better athletic skills than other people. But other people can learn and develop those skills and be just the same as the person that was born with exceptional athletic abilities.
Ah, okay.
I believe this is the same.
Okay, so, but were you all of a sudden at a certain age, you realize, then we'll get into what you can do, but what were you a certain age when you start realizing that you could, you had this special...
Well, as a child, I knew by accident, that I could tune in to what other people were thinking or feeling but I didn't realize it. One day, for instance, in front of our house, where the cars would drive up and park, it was all uneven, but the neighbor's was nice and neat and had a curb around it. And I thought, if I just made a straight edge on that, it would make our house look better too. So it kept bothering me, and finally I went out front and I took the shovel and I did about 3 feet, and then I realized what a super huge job it was, especially for a little girl. And when my mother came home, she walked in the house and she had a strange look on her face, and she said, "Who did that in the front yard today?" And I said, "I did." And she said, "I was thinking about that today. I was thinking about how much nicer our house would look if just the edge was straight."
Like, really?
Yeah. And that's one of the first memories I have that I had somehow picked up on what my mother had been thinking.
Wow.
And I acted on it. And that's how we knew that this had happened.
Really?
Yeah.
So how old were you about?
I was probably, 9 or 10.
Really?
Yeah, something like that. And I used to be able to make her call me when I was an adult. We were on a really, really tight budget, and she wasn't on as tight a budget. And when I needed to talk to her, I would just say, Mama, call. I would just think it. Please call. And pretty soon the phone would ring, and I'd say, "Hi, Mama." And she'd say, "How did you know it was me?" And I said, "Because I made you call."
Really?
And she never disputed. She never made a comment, but she never disputed it or anything. She just accepted it.
So you're saying if you go into a crowd, you just start feeling people's feelings or hearing their thoughts, or do you have to kind of turn it on?
Yeah, you kind of turn it on.
Okay.
Sometimes if I go in a store, I get a feeling in the store. I walked into a store one time. Actually, my husband and I did around Christmas time. We were in Fargo. And we walked in the store, and there was such an overwhelming feeling of anger in that store that we walked in one door and made a loop and walked out the other door.
Really?
I said, "Let's get out of here." And he said, I'm with you." And we went out because he actually felt it too.
Really?
It was, I don't know what was going on, but the people in that store were angry. And so that I felt, the anger, I didn't, no specific thoughts or anything. It was just a feeling.
It's a good thing that it doesn't always, because can you imagine, you know, because I don't think the average person is very happy because it's we got some stressful times, but I do believe it's being allowed to get people on their knees, you know,
mm-hmm.
so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I too can feel, you know, people's thoughts and feelings and, you know.
Or emotions.
Yes, and there's times now when I get like that, I have to take a quiet time and find out if it's mine. And as
right.
a rule, it's not. And then
right.
I clear it. Because, you know, or else, you know, or else I'll be thinking, sometimes I'll be thinking of a certain person and I'll be feeling this certain, and I'm thinking, well, why would I think like this? I have no, and it's usually people are struggling feelings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, wait a minute, this person must be thinking about me. And a lot of times they'll call, or when I do talk to them, they'll say, oh, yeah, I've been thinking about you. So then I, like you say, you talk with them,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually I clear, because usually it's kind of, they're worried, they're upset, they're concerned, you know. It's like
right.
Struggle.
Yes, I went into a deep depression one time, and I just was so depressed, and I thought, and all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, what do I have to be depressed about? There's nothing depressing me, and then I realized it was somebody else.
Yes, yes.
I was feeling
their
somebody else's depression, and then I started working on figuring out who it was.
Well, like with me, I have found out that this soul is trying to get me to heal them or help them. They want my energy. So I've learned that, so now I've been dealing with it. But I do notice that I prefer being kind of alone, and that's probably why, because, you know, I'm not among all these other energies.
Right. I know that's why I stay by myself.
You do too, huh?
Yes.
Yes, yes. So it's you know, and it's interesting because you are from Southern California, and now you're in northern Minnesota, and it's like, can there be two states so different?
No, but I was absolutely drawn here.
What would you like to share that?
I can talk about that. We lived in Southern California, and my mother lived with us, and I had a good job. My husband had a good job. Everything was going great. And then at work one day, I went in and I heard, your work here is done. And I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was being said to me. It was just in my head, your work here is done. And I thought, what? You know, and I didn't pay any attention to it. Just a random thought. And then the next day, I hear, your work here is done. It's time to go. And I thought, no, wait. You know, well, just a random thought, and I let it go. And the next day I heard it about three times during the day. Your work here is done. It's time to go. So I'm thinking, my work here is done? I didn't understand what I was being told. But I knew it had to do with, it would start when I would walk through the door of the restaurant to start work. And I wouldn't hear it at any other time.
Was it a thought? Or was it literally like...
It was in my head, but it was like being spoken in my head.
A thought, okay.
You know, but that's how so many people just think it's just their own thought when it's actually a communication.
Yeah, I have that too.
I mean,
I have heard voices just like you and I, especially mm-hmm. when I am coming out of a meditation or I'm waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they'll just say my name, or a voice that's a friend's voice. We'll just say something like, hey there, or hi, Levon. And
right, right. Yeah.
You've heard that too.
Mm-hmm. But it finally ended up that when I would walk through that door, that would be playing in my head nonstop. Your work here is done. It's time to go, over and over. Like a song, you'll get a song stuck in your head and it plays over
yeah.
and over. So always in the background, as long as I was at work, I would keep hearing that. Well, ended up my mother had a stroke. And the place all had new bosses, and they wouldn't even let me stay home part of the day to take care of my mother. They said, hire someone to take care of your mother. You have to work. So I even did that. So I ended up quitting the job. Then I took care of two of my grandchildren, too, who actually had been abused and had daycare. So I knew I was supposed to take care of them and my mother. But, you know, it's hard to tell my husband that half our income was gone. But he didn't even give me trouble. I mean, he said, "You've trusted me for all these years." Because I said, "Believe me, we'll be just fine. Please, believe me, we'll be just fine." And I knew we would because I had done what I was supposed to do. And he said, "How can I not believe in you when you've trusted me all these years?" So that's, and that's all he said. Then...
So how did you choose Minnesota, though? I mean, I know people tell me that, too. They'll ask me.
My husband was born in Halleck.
Okay.
His mother was raised right here in the town we live in, and so every summer he came back to Minnesota.
Okay.
So he always felt he had the best of both worlds. He had winters in Southern California and summers in Minnesota.
Okay.
So
he was a snowbird.
Well, his father was a teacher, so they had the whole summer off. And they would come back here, and his father and mother taught the Red Cross swimming program at the lake, and he coached baseball, and he had work here in the summer. But that's how we knew the area. But I had never come here, and I said I wasn't ever going to come here because they talked about it so much that I got tired of it. And I said, you know, I'm never going to that place. And that's the first time I learned never say never. But anyway.
Yes.
But anyway, then my mother died. My husband lost his job. And we had bought an 18-wheeler, and one of our sons was driving it. And then he flipped the truck. So it was in repair for like 3 months. They wouldn't give us, it was fixed in 3 weeks, but they wouldn't give us it back to us for 3 months. So we lost all our operating capital. So anyway, make a long story short, we ended up right at bankruptcy. And we didn't even have a late payment. We just didn't have any more money. And I had been studying different books, Edgar Cayce and Mary Summer Rain, and they kept talking about areas to go to live, safe areas. And that was in my mind. And then I realized that we needed to move. And actually, I was pulled here. I could feel almost like an attachment pulling me like a rubber band to this place, pulling me. It was almost, it was so hard to, I just couldn't fight against it. I was drawn here, and I had never been here. So I told my husband one day, and now he was on the verge of a nervous breakdown from losing his job. His position was eliminated after 20-some years at his job, never drawn unemployment, anything, you know. And so he was in a real delicate state of mind. And
my husband lost his job. He thought he was going to be at that place forever, and he even fainted one day, you know. So that's really hard.
It's just shock.
Yeah, because that's their main, they feel that's their main.
And I knew, I had studied all types of herbs and everything, and I was giving him everything I could look up and give to keep him, you know, keep him going. Mm-hmm. And finally I told him one day, I said, we have to move. I just know we have to move. Well, he lived with me long enough to know that when I say something like that, to listen to it. But he said, okay, where? Like that, because, you know, kind of disdainful. And I said, we have to move to Lake Bronson. And he just stood there and looked at me, and he said, okay.
Yeah.
And he told me later that if I had said any other place in the world, he would have said no.
Really?
But he was so taken aback because I said a place I said I would never go. So we started getting ready to go, and we told our adult children that we were going to move, and one of our sons said, if you're going, I'm going. So we were all gearing up to leave and move to Minnesota, and I at the time was taking massage training, and we had had I was learning polarity massage, and I thought, oh my gosh, what if I'm wrong? What if these people are following me and I'm wrong? So it's the first doubt that I had. And After we had our training session, the instructor had us lay on mats and just relax. I was laying there on my mat, just relaxing, not thinking of anything, and I hear a voice, and this was a spoken voice, say, Minnesota.
Really?
It was a man's voice, about an inch from my ear and an inch above my ear, about where it was, like there was a person right there. He just said, Minnesota. And I knew that I was doing the right thing. So when I went home, I told my husband and my son and his wife about it and everything. And unbeknownst to me, my son was then saying, well, you know, she got a sign, what if I'm making the wrong move? What, I have a really good job. We didn't have jobs. We didn't have a home. We didn't have anything in Minnesota. We were just going. And so he said, I have a really, really good job, and I'm leaving it behind, and I don't even know what we're going to do. And he happened to be driving on the freeway at this time. It was about a week or two after I had my message. And he saw a U-Haul truck ahead of him, and he thought, well, I have to catch that U-Haul truck. I have to catch that U-Haul truck. And so he maneuvered in and out of traffic until he drew even with the U-Haul truck. And on the side of the truck, it said in huge letters, move to Minnesota.
Really?
Yes. So he got his message. And he was so elated that he went home to tell his wife that he got this message and what had happened and everything. He was so excited. And so then she was thinking to herself, well, what about me? You know, they know they're supposed to go. Maybe, you know, how do I know? I haven't heard anything nothing's happened. And my husband had sitting there and he was surfing through the channels with remote control, just going click, 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 click up the channels. And out of the TV comes the word Minnesota.
Really?
And he stopped and he went back through the channels. And there was no program on Minnesota, nothing. And she was so excited because she got her message. She no sooner thought that when they heard that word come out of the TV.
Really?
Yeah, so they came over to the house, and they are so excited. And they're telling us, and I mean, they were even more excited than before. And she had asked us to wait because she was doing 3 months to have a baby. She was so close to being due. So we said we would wait until the baby was born. Actually, she was like a month away. Well, she had to be closer than that because he was 3 months old when we actually made the move. The baby was 3 months old.
Oh.
So we waited for all of that, and it was like sometimes I wanted to just jump in the car and drive here. It was the pull to be here was so strong. So then when they were clearing out the garage and going to load the truck, unbeknownst to all of us, my husband was having his doubts and how come he hadn't got a sign and what if he was making a mistake? And he comes walking in the house with my son right behind him. I was packing up things in the kitchen. And he has this odd look on his face, and he's holding a notebook. And he said, where did this come from? And I said, I don't know. You know, I just kept working. And he goes, no, where did this come from? Have you ever seen this? I said, no, I've never seen it. I don't know where it came from. And he got closer. It was one of those that it's like a binder. It's not a three-ring binder, but it's a binder that like a legal notepad would go in, the yellow pads.
Uh-huh.
Just one of those. So he walked over to the counter, and he looked at it, and I thought it was just a brown, notebook thing. And he said, no, look at it. So I looked at it, and I thought it was just brown, but it had like dark plastic, ingrained in the plastic vinyl cover, so it's made to look like wood. And he said, no, really look at it. So I looked at it, and I said, what? And he goes, look right here. And he ran his finger across the top of it, and in raised letters in that vinyl was the word Minnesota.
Oh, really?
And he had found that book in the garage.
You know, it's really neat and special how you and your family have that belief because it makes life a lot easier, especially with such major decisions.
Right. Then they've learned to recognize when they get a message from me because I started showing them, I would say, that's a message. If you have a song playing in your head over and over and over, you need to listen to it because it's a message. and you'll hear the lyrics you're supposed to hear. And sometimes the lyrics are just changed by a word or two that you're hearing because that's your message.
Well, you know, I've met a handful of people up here that I would say were a little more, like you say, we all have the gifts, but it's like we're aware of it. And
right.
Quite a few folk have said to me, you know, they'd say, why am I here? Now, don't get me wrong, anyone that's listening, Minnesota is a wonderful state, but it gets really cold, it gets, mosquitoes get pretty nasty, and it's probably a state that some folk would, you know, if they'd have a vote, it probably would not be chosen the one that everybody's drawn to.
Right.
But when I went to a meeting, in fact, where I met you in Bemidji, the individual told, someone stood up and asked that question, what am I doing here? And then they said, talk to another individual. And this person told us that there's a special energy. It's probably the best energy that goes through this area. It's not just here. I think it goes like in a circle. Do you know anything about that, Eunice?
No, I don't know about the circle.
But there's an energy that goes through here that's supposed to be excellent. It's
well, right, but I know that water also is a conduit.
Okay, and Minnesota is called the land of
yes.
10,000 lakes.
Right.
Yeah.
And that you and the cold has to do with it. You actually can learn or experience these things better in a cooler climate.
Really? So mm-hmm. Our gifts are a little more ripe then? Is that what you're saying?
Right. You know,
okay.
When we left, the night we left California, they were loading the U-Haul truck in their shorts, 11 o'clock at night, 91 degrees.
Really?
Two nights later, they were working sugar beets at 28 degrees.
Right. Well, what time of the year?
Our son said we have to be there by October 15th. We have to be. So I don't know why. I just know we have to be there by October 15th. And when someone tells us something like that, we flow with it.
You know what's strange? We settled here October 15th.
Did you really?
Yeah, but it was more. It was the fall of 95, I think.
And ours was the fall of 1997.
Okay, yeah, because it's a long story. We've got a very interesting story. We kept. My daughters and my husband and I were like missionaries, and we were independent missionaries. We really didn't belong to an organized church, but, you know, I was a gospel worker. And we went all over, but we kept coming here. I mean, I remember thinking, my goodness, you know, it was like 5-6 times. And now I understand why.
Yeah, you were drawn.
We were being drawn. Mm-hmm. And why did we keep coming back and forth? I don't know, but we're here. So and we've gone to California, Oregon, New Mexico, South Dakota, Texas, Tennessee, Wisconsin. We've gone to all of those, but not like this corner. We kept coming back. And we weren't
right.
Very far from Lake Bronson. We were in Caribou, you know, mm-hmm. probably like the mm-hmm. next town over.
Right.
You know.
Right. See, then our daughter was drawn the same way. She was drawn here, and she had never been here either, because when my husband would come here to the reunions and things, he would bring our son with him, and then my daughters and I would go, like, to Nashville, to Tennessee. I might have had a brother at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and we would visit there. So she had never been here either, because they wanted to go there to Nashville. But she was drawn here, too, and her husband said to her, you just want to be with your mother. That's all. You're just a mama's girl, and you just, because he didn't want to move. And she said, no, it's not that. And she knew that it wasn't. It was that same pull that I had felt. It wasn't to us or to me. She was being drawn to the area, too. And they actually ended up moving to this area, too.
Yeah, you know, what's really special is when you learn to listen and you learn to obey, it's such blessings. And it doesn't matter what faith you are either.
No.
I mean, you know.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with religion.
It's that connection to mm-hmm. your all that is.
Mm-hmm. I felt.
What do you call it? I call it all that is.
Yeah, all that is, or I am that I am, or,
okay.
You know.
it's the highest spiritual aspect of us as individuals,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a collection of what who we are.
Right.
And if we can learn to listen, the Bible calls it that wee little voice,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if we can learn, because then life is a lot simpler. And if we could spend at least, you know, if we can daily spend time, you know, and just so we can be guided, but also the peace that comes with it, the healing,
mm-hmm.
just knowing that you are connected. It is, I think it's so healing, so fantastic. I don't know about you, because everybody comes here to want to experience. I believe my main goal is peace. I want peace. You know, so I think it's really special how you're sharing this with us.
Well, it's interesting because before we moved, I used to see in my head, I would see myself on a high dive, and there is a swimming pool under me, but I couldn't see if there was water in it or not, and I had to jump off the high dive. I had no idea if there was water in that pool or not. And then I would jump, and I would never see myself hit the water or anything. But when I would jump, I would just know that there was water in that pool. And I kept seeing that, and then all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, it's a leap of faith.
Yes.
I'm taking a leap of faith. And that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, especially when you've come from California to mm-hmm. Minnesota. Because they are like day and night. Weather and just everything.
Well, one of the ladies in one of my massage classes, because they learned that we were moving to Minnesota, she said to me, wait a minute. We were eating lunch. And she just thought, she says, wait a minute. Everybody... seems like everybody in this country is trying to get to California, and you are going the opposite way. And I thought she was, you know, getting kind of irritated or something. And I said, yes. And she said, I think you are a forerunner.
Really?
You're one of the first group to leave. And that's all she said.
Another message.
Yes.
So from what I'm hearing, we get thoughts, we get feelings, we get dreams,
mm-hmm.
visions, and other, you'll see signs on sides of trucks. I mean, and then people telling you.
Right.
So it sounds like to me, even though you knew, but all that is, wanted to make sure that you felt really safe. So you kept getting messages.
Mm-hmm.
Kept getting messages.
We got reinforcement for our decision.
Yep.
We had backup.
Yeah, I too have learned, and it gives you more faith when you listen, and when you listen to these messages, it makes you more trusting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unique, and I like what you said not long ago in our talk today, that doesn't matter where you're affiliated, and we're not just talking about Christian, we're talking about any spiritual, wherever you're at.
Right.
You know, so it's important.
Right.
So,
our experiences have had no conflict with any type of religion that I know of. I mean, a lot of it is backed up by the things I learned in church. Our children went to parochial school even, you know. They attended Lutheran schools, and we were very active in the Lutheran church. And it doesn't go against anything that I ever learned. One of the first things that helped me, well, two of the first things, but the first thing was the Lord's Prayer. And I learned I needed to say it. It was just an insight I got that I needed to really pray the Lord's Prayer, but pray it word by word, not say it by rote, because I said it by rote for years, and I used to do that every night before I would go to sleep. I would really say the Lord's Prayer, and it got to where at different times I get stuck on a part, and it's like I couldn't go beyond, and so then I would know to work on that part. And I got so much insight and everything just by saying the Lord's Prayer. And the other one was the 23rd Psalm. I learned it by heart, and I started saying the 23rd Psalm along with the Lord's Prayer. And it's just, so many things were revealed to me. Those two things are so powerful. They're unbelievably powerful, the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, just praying, period, and I believe it's a lot to do with the heart, the intention. You know, if we would just do it more and spend more quiet time. But we get so busy, you know, and...
But
so
you have to be fully present. Like, that's what I mean by you can't say it by rote. You can't do things by rote. You need to be fully present in the moment. And you'll be given... You gain so much more insight and so much knowledge and information, and you see things so much more clear if you can stay present. And that's really hard to do.
Yes. Well, you know, I met a young man one time, and he was classified as a schizophrenic. And I asked him, you know, how they found out that he was a schizophrenic. And here, all it was is he was having dreams.
And he told people about his dream.
Yeah, so the dad took him to the doctor, and the doctor started putting him on medicine. And
it gets kind of scary sometimes because it could be interpreted that way.
Yep. And,
you know.
And it's not, I mean, anyways, it scares people. So when people hear things like that and they have any kind of experiences, a lot of times they shut it down. But I do share with people that's just, you know, you can talk to me. You don't have to tell everybody.
Right.
You know, but people like to tell everyone, and it can cause waves. But there is, that's why I think a lot of people miss out, because, they, you know, there's
right.
a lot of prejudice against things. It's misunderstanding.
Well, it's like my daughter's children or the children I'm raising now. Even we talk about things here at home, and I have to say, now this is not for common talk. At school, this is family talk. This stays here.
Yes.
And it's really sad, but that's the way it. That's just the way it is.
So we have to be wise, and sometimes people say they feel lonely, but you're never alone, because your angels and your spirit guides, and there's usually someone that you'll be put in their path, because the universe knows that we are social beings. You know,
mm-hmm.
so our needs do get met. And some of that is even testing for us, you know, to see, make us more strong, make us believe more, things like that.
Or to learn how to talk to people.
Yeah.
To learn actually how to talk to people, you know, that you don't scare them off. They don't think you're crazy.
Yeah. But, you know, it's becoming... Well, you know, where we live up here, it's kind of it's wonderful. The energy is fantastic. The people are really super, I think. But there's a little bit of an old-fashioned mindset mm-hmm. up here, so it's a little bit more, what would you say?
Well, I don't know exactly how to say it, but what I learned when I moved here is these people here are different, and they don't even know it. When we would go to a store, for instance, in California.
Hi. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Elena, and I actually have a question about some health issues that I'm dealing with right now. I read on your website that you talk to spirit guides and you deal with energy blockages.
Okay. Did you read the thing on, it was a Cherie Thorne?
Yeah, I believe that was it.
Yeah, she's not on today.
Oh.
You know, we're speaking under her site.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and where are you from?
I'm calling from Florida.
Oh, okay. We're in Minnesota here, us two ladies that are talking. If you look on the website, I think she has her number.
Okay.
Because she does, you know, she's really fantastic in that kind of work, so.
Okay, but you don't do that kind of work.
No.
Okay.
You know, I do, but not on our radio station today. So
okay,
I have a phone number. It's 218-425-3983.
Okay.
You know, and so, what was your first name again?
Elena,
that's pretty. I'm LaVon.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, thank you anyway.
You're welcome. Okay. Eunice, are you there?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, no, I did hear a little thing before, and I was wondering, but okay, now I know what the beat means. Okay, so you were sharing with us.
I was saying that when in California, if we would go into a department store and we needed help, it was like you were... the sales clerks were like you were bothering them. You were a bother. But when we moved here, people would come up to us in a store and say, "Can I help you? Is there anything you need?" And they were honest and sincere. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to talk to you, whatever. And it was like a difference of day and night. The people were so friendly and so kind and so trusting and so honest. And that was a whole new world for us.
Yeah. In fact, in the wintertime, I have seen a car running with the baby in the back seat, the purse on the front seat. And I'm like, I'm not seeing this. But, I mean, this can't be real. And I know many people that don't lock their houses up here.
Right.
You know, and I know many people that leave their cars run because it gets kind of cold.
Right. That was one of our first surprises, because we would go to the grocery store and every car sitting there would have their motors running with the keys in it and unlocked. And in California, they would all been gone. You locked your car all the time, even in your own driveway.
Yeah, and there was a friend of mine that moved from California to here, and I think it was in Karlstad. He left his wallet in the restaurant. And they got quite a ways from there, and then when they got so far, they realized they left it, and they went back, and someone just handed it to the cashier person, and his wallet was not touched.
I couldn't believe it.
You know?
I shouldn't say that everybody in California is like that, because they aren't. It's just,
right.
I mean, I left my purse on top of my car one time, and it fell off, and a man brought it to my house and gave it to me.
Yes.
Completely intact.
Yeah, people, there's good people all over, but
there's
a lot less people here, for one thing.
Right. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and
when my husband and I graduated from high school, our graduating class, seniors only, there was 1,800 of us in California. And we come here, and there's 5,000 people in the whole county.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and you know, so I'm used to more city.
But it's so wonderful.
Yes, it is very.
It's so wonderful.
Yep. But there's not as much openness to.
But the people here are just wonderful in their own way.
Exactly, they're wonderful. They're
and they're caring and they're loving and they're not afraid to show it.
Yes,
and that's a big difference.
And most people are here because of family.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so that there's a difference. It's love reason that they're here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In fact, I really like it here. The only thing is kind of the stuff we're talking about, you know, not everybody here is interested in it, but I think it's that way in California, too, I'm sure. There's people that are not.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Am I wrong?
Right. But it's more open, much more open than here.
Yeah, that way. But
this place, this area is growing that way. It's, when my, for instance, we were visiting with a man that my husband and I, who we never dreamed would know about anything like this, and I happened to mention that when my son died, I knew the instant he died. And all of a sudden this man says, "Oh, you know things. you know things. And I was taken aback. I thought, I didn't, you know, quite, you know, you get worried. And I said, yes. And he said, my mother did too.
Really?
My mother did too. And we never dreamed that this man would have any connection like that. She said, he said, my mother knew all kinds of things.
Now,
you're
know,
like her.
How did you know your son died?
I felt it.
You just knew it.
Mm-hmm. I just knew it.
Well, you know, I mostly do massage up here, and just like I do a trauma erase, and
mm-hmm.
then I do ear candling. And it is interesting how the universe has sent me quite a few people that are more into this kind of mindset. But everybody's leery of it more here, I think, of speaking about it. Because I think many people experience, it's like the man that you met.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
they don't know who to talk to about it. But for
he
some
probably,
reason...
Maybe he hadn't told anybody else that his mother
yeah.
knew things.
Because there is a fear, you know, of,
mm-hmm.
by some.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there is just... And it's sad, even though they know it's okay. But people don't like to be ridiculed or, you know... Look,
yeah.
people looking at him cross-eyed.
See, my mother didn't even really talk about it. I asked her one time, when I was a teenager, I think, I asked her, I said, Mama, where did this thing come from that we have? And she said, what thing? And I said, this thing that we have, where did it come from? And she just looked at me, and then she thought for a few minutes, just looking at me, and she finally said, my father could shake hands with a person, and he could tell you exactly what that person was like.
Really?
And that's, she never mentioned that before, and she never talked about it afterward. And that's all she said. So I was thinking it probably came through my grandmother, but it didn't. It came from through my grandfather.
Hmm.
You know, this he had a natural ability. He could do that.
I've heard that. Old souls. Because that's what I have been told. It's, you understand the old soul definition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually, old souls have old soul children, and you know, it comes through their bloodline. I've heard that.
Right. Yeah.
I know. I have an aunt that saw and heard things all the time, and they tried to classify her as a schizophrenic too. And now that I've gotten older and that, and I've learned, I realized that she was just seeing, you know, spirit guides, angels, dead people.
Right, right.
But, you know, she's like, she's around 70. And I think each generation is more open and accepting to this.
Oh, yes.
This mindset. Mm-hmm. And well, she too lived in northern Wisconsin, which is not much different than here. And like you say, there's wonderful people, but it's not like in the big, big cities you could, you know, find worship centers even of
mm-hmm.
people that will gather so they can share these kind of experiences. Where up here, it's more, like you said, it's a more individual will talk to you.
Right,
you know,
right.
They feel, because they hear things. And then so they feel, in fact, I've had people come for a massage, I believe, just to talk.
I'm sure of that. I have no doubt.
yes.
Yeah, my daughter was a massage therapist, and she had the same things would happen.
Yeah, people come because a lot of times they know that massage therapists are into natural things, you know, like herbs and, you know.
But see, I think, too, what happens during massage, in fact, there's an energy exchange. It can't be helped. There's an energy exchange between the person receiving the massage and the person giving the massage. And I believe for a person like my daughter or like you, doing a massage on a person actually helps open them up spiritually. And then they're not afraid to ask questions.
So their
soul—they trust you.
Their soul is seeing our soul, maybe.
Yes, there's an actual energy exchange when you give a massage. You're also receiving, and that person is receiving the massage, but they're also giving. There's an energy exchange.
I know that I massaged a gal. Well, the last gal I massaged, she said that night she had such dreams.
Mm-hmm.
you know, so, and she's, the dreams were very, very helpful, you know, for her. It was healing for her. And so I, this is what I kind of understand. It's like we all have this vibration, but the more we clear and work at it, our vibration becomes
higher.
A little higher, so mm-hmm. some of the little lower, it's like we're helping their vibration raise.
Right.
You know, and so it's just that's the way the healing method works. The universe mm-hmm. has these plans, just like Jesus Christ sent the disciples out two by two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then there are people that are, you know, their vibration's a little higher and people desire to be healed, so they come to them.
Right.
You know, so it's not, it's really sciences. You know, it's not so mysterious like a lot of people think. It's not as spooky. It's just a science. It's like the chakras and, you know, like what we were talking about today, you know, we can hear voices at times. We get dreams, visions, and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That's there for everyone.
Right.
And in fact, I believe people hear and see it ever so often, but they push it out. Just like
mm-hmm.
I was at this gal's house and we were doing there was like a little massage party. And then her little son, I think he's 4, you know, I massage his mama and I massage their friend. And all of a sudden the little 4-year-old comes walking out and says, "I love God." And you could tell it was with his eyes. He was
mm-hmm.
seeing stuff, see.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe all of us, when we were young, a lot of this stuff is not.
It's natural.
It's kind of mysterious to when we get older. Yeah, you say it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
So he either saw angels, spirit guides, he saw the auras. For all you know, he did see.
Well, I had...
I just looked at him and I said, "I love God too," because I could tell it was so important.
Right.
Huh?
Right. That's a good answer. That's a good
yeah.
response for him.
But I knew what he was, because he was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we have a grandson who could see auras, and we found out because, you know how little kids like to measure their hand against your hand to see how big their hand is to yours? He was doing that with my husband, and he was seeing how big his hand was to his papa's. And then when they after they measure, he goes, "But Papa, what's the purple for?"
Really?
And my husband said, "What purple?" He goes, "You know, the purple around our fingers." And he says, "I think you need to talk to Grandma about that." And that's how we found out he could see auras.
Well, when I was real small, I saw a gnome. And I knew it was a gnome, and I was around 4 years old. And I had to go to a dentist, and he was not a very gentle dentist. So, my mother probably should have never told me. She should have just taken me in the car and... Now, when I got there, then I could panic for a few minutes. So I used to go hide under her bed because, just going to that dentist. And
mm-hmm.
I was just, so suffering with fear and yuck. And here this little gnome is standing, and he never said a word, but whatever his presence did, it made me okay. And I remember even thinking that he was a gnome.
Yep,
and I never was told what gnomes were.
You were born with the knowledge.
Yeah, just plain born with that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was, you know, It's not sad. It's just the way it is. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I believe
yeah.
that you and my main goal is to help each other remember.
Right.
One of our, you know, missions. So,
right.
So children do know and children.
Yeah, the same grandson, when my mother was dying, I actually asked him to go in and check her aura for me because to see how it was. And he studied and studied for the longest time. He goes, I can't tell. I said, "You mean she doesn't have one?" He said, "No, I can't tell." And I said, "Why can't you tell?" And he goes, because the little angel keeps flapping its wings and it's messing the colors up.
Oh, really?
And I said, "What little angel?" And he said, "The one that's over her head."
Wonderful.
And he could see it, and he was like, "Can't you see it?" You know, that's the way he was talking to me. That little angel right over her head.
Well, you know, it's so neat. Well, you know, but to them it's so just normal. So
mm-hmm.
just like I know my little poodle too, especially when I've meditated or I've had a session. He looks. And he goes in the kitchen, not angry, but he kind of rumbles like he's talking to someone, like, because they see too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so natural and normal. It's just like right now I'm looking at my picture here with three angels. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. to me that's just there. And if you try to tell me it wasn't there, I'd look at you and think you were crazy.
Right.
But the children and the animals, it's just a normal thing. So it's not really that exciting, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying it isn't exciting, but it's just so natural, normal. It's like an everyday thing.
Right.
I know when I was in labor with my one daughter, you know, they give you that hypo, you know, so mm-hmm. it relaxes you. And I remember laying there, and I saw completely around my bed, I saw gnomes and fairies. And they were all little shorties, maybe 3-foot people, but they mm-hmm. some had huge noses hanging over the bed, and one fairy had a little wings and a cute little, looked like a dress. But it was as, it's just like if I saw you standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, whoa, this stuff must be potent. You know, I thought I was just being kind of floating in the high
but
state.
That's what they think too much, too many times.
Yeah. And I obviously must have really relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I saw them, right?
And your eyes were opened.
Yep, yep. And I believe my daughters are very much into what I'm into, and I believe that they were just so, you know, kind of there to help her come. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Me too, because, you know, any of us that have been in labor.
Yeah, but they may have been there to welcome her.
Welcome her. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and their vibration, I'm sure, is pretty pure.
Mm-hmm.
So just having them in our presence is very... But I believe they probably were with me anyways, but I saw them.
Right. You were allowed to see them.
Yeah, yeah. But at that time, I thought I was just having a very wonderful, relaxing, high experience because I didn't, besides seeing the gnome when I was real small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now I deal a lot with dreams, but the dreams are very, very, very powerful. And I'm finding out a lot of my dreams are even healing. I don't have to do anything. The dream is my subconsciousness. I'm being healed
mm-hmm.
with a lot of issues. So, well, you know, we have a few minutes left here. I think we need to share. If those that would like to get in tune, like I had a caller that wanted to talk to us, Therese Thorne, and she's very gifted. If you get on the computer, it's knowingspirit.com, because she does offer some wonderful healing sessions. It's knowingspirit.com, and her phone number is 815-327-3001. And I do a thing called Trauma Erase, similar to what Therese does. My number is 218-425-3983. 218-425-3983. And if you just want to call to talk, just ask questions, share some of your experiences, or else I'm on the internet as lavonf@wichtel.com. That's lavonf@wichtel.com. And Eunice, I thank you for sharing, and I'm going to try to get you back on again, if you let me.
Okay.
Okay. And I myself, I feel the best witness is our own testimony. But that's where I'm coming from. I know some people like difference, but I love hearing the experiences. In fact, my experiences have taught me a lot. You know, it gives you more faith when things happen and you see things and experience it.
Right.
You know? And everybody, we got to respect people where they're at. You know, I'll be honest, I'm meeting more people that are into like you and I. And everybody uses little different terms and they have, you know, their experiences may be a little different. But we all are coming from the same source.
And we're all on the same path.
On the same path. Okay, and I thank you all for listening and have a pleasant day. Bye, Eunice.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program or book a private consultation with Reverend Sharice Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Sharice sending you light and love on your journey home.